And hello, everybody, here on YouTube for Off the Hook Overtime. This is Emmanuel. Kyle, you're here?
Yeah.
In YouTube?
I'm in YouTube. I'm in all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for now, just mostly like, you know, whatever frequency range my voice can do.
Yeah, yeah. YouTube Live.
So I guess this is, encoded and streaming.
And Rob and Gila and Alex, you all make it?
We did.
We are here.
All right, then.
That's it, yep.
And are we actually on YouTube?
We are indeed on YouTube and sounding good.
So this won't be one of these shows where we do the entire show and realize we weren't on YouTube the whole time.
As fun as that would be, no, not tonight.
It's by request many times, too. But, okay, so here we are. Everything is fine. Please, if people want to blather on about things we didn't get to talk about on the show, I'll sit back for a minute and finish this pretzel.
Okay, so I would like to mention, well, two things. Number one is that I'm actually going to have to dip out of here pretty soon. Rob is going to take over for me. We've got 39 people with us right now. Thank you very much. And in a weird turn of events, one of the comments, YouTube, at least in my browser, has flagged it as Filipino.
Flagged it as Filipino.
So,
wait, the show is Filipino?
No, our buddy Lex posted Heya Gila, which apparently in Filipino means hi crazy.
Wow. Okay.
So my it's saying hi crazy, which I definitely appreciate.
Wait, so why does YouTube feel it has to tell us that it thinks that's Filipino?
I'm not sure, but it is telling me it's translating, and I know that
Okay, so it is showing you the translation by default.
Yes.
So by default, it is changing what's shown to you. And I wonder if that's a setting you can manipulate.
I don't know. So
No, it does not appear to be.
I can see that on Rob's machine, it has not translated. So listeners.
I guess because you're the moderator.
Maybe it's because I'm the moderator.
So if somebody were.
YouTube feels its job to tell you if you could possibly be offended in any language, and it's gonna offend you to your face.
So I guess this is a tool for moderators in that if somebody is swearing in foreign, you would want to know about it, theoretically. But for them to do this by default without letting you disable it or anything, it feels kind of invasive to me.
I imagine every word is a curse in some language.
I would assume as much, but so that was that. So we've learned now, YouTube will rat you out if you try to speak in another language. Are we landing a plane?
What does that mean? Oh, this is radio, so nobody knows what you're talking about, including me, because I wasn't watching. I had my eyes closed.
Sorry. So I was watching the screen where the signal chat is, and all of a sudden a light was blinking, and now Kyle is an air traffic controller, just missing the little sticks.
The little lightsabers.
We have our hobbies out here.
We're, yes. We are full contact. We're ready and keeping safety a solid third.
If a plane needs to land, it's important that you know how to do it. You know how to make sure it can land.
All the time.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
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 But, it's a lot of work behind the scenes here, and we're just doing our job.
Trying to. Yes. I'll go ahead. Gila, then Alex.
Sorry. Other people have put things in other languages into the chat. So I'm glad to hear, Beans, that you are Cancun.
this could be fun to play with.
This could be fun to play with.
Or it could be extremely dull.
I mean, I'm having a good time.
Yes, but check in 10 minutes. How do you feel then? I'm sure you'll be sick of it.
most likely. However, our listenership has got, we've gotten 20 more people as we've been having this conversation. So I'm not saying it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, try to curse in English so we can all
yeah, I'll benefit from this. So yeah. it'll be fun.
We all want to participate, and of course, we're based in the U.S. and speaking. Well, okay, let's say mostly non-standard, well, mostly standard English. And yeah, you know, you're welcome to do that too.
Well, look, I did look this up. Hey, Gila. If you translate it and use the detect language function on translate.google.com, it does translate from Malay.
Oh, Malay.
From Malay, interestingly enough, is what Google detects it as. And it translates it to, hey, crazy.
Malaysia is not the Philippines.
No, it's not. But Malay is a language, though.
I misspoke. Just like the 400 people who accidentally got registered to vote, it was pure human error.
Yeah, I guess so. Right.
As yeah. I'm interested to know is which Heya, is it Heya or Gila that means crazy? This knowledge is important to me.
It's Gila.
It's Gila. Yep. What did you expect, Rob?
I mean, my first name means to. My first name in English means to steal stuff, so, I mean, I can't really speak out of turn about this.
Isn't there a lizard called a Gila monster?
There certainly is.
Oh, you must be aware of that, then, growing up with the name Gila. Wow.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, I used to cry a lot and say, I'm not a monster.
But then you brought a Gila monster to school one day, and everybody shut up after that.
They stayed out of my way. Do you know, however... One thing that Gila monsters brought to the world, which has really affected the way that the whole world is living right now.
GLP-1s?
In fact.
Yeah, the GLP-1s are derived from a trait that these reptiles have.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain this a little better?
Yeah, they basically change the way they metabolize sugars, I guess, or insulin, something about that regulation, I believe. It allows them to fast or to go into dormant. I don't know if I'm explaining this. It's something like that. They have a natural state that is peculiar, and believe it or not, science was curious about this and found funding in a market to maybe benefit from this trait in obese and Americans seeking this kind of
Americans,
this kind of skill. Yeah, they don't naturally come by it. I don't know. It's been helpful, but also kind of a socially a topic of conversation socially, like people. You know, microdosing now, and I don't know. I assume Doritos will have a GLP-1 flavored chip soon. They're just going to dust those things, and they'll be like diet chips or something.
All from Gila monsters.
Yeah. It's the bounty that is nature.
Who knew?
Yeah.
All right.
So
yes.
This is going to be my moment. I have a meeting I have to get to.
Time is up already. I thought we had a little bit more time than that. God.
I said 10 minutes.
Yeah, but is it 10 minutes? You're right. It's exactly 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So I'm going to pass my laptop up to Rob.
Okay.
And I will bid you all a lovely evening.
I can't watch. pass the damn laptop. Get it over with.
This is going to be disastrous. Okay. I'm on here now, and hey, chat, when you see Gila's name on stuff, it's coming from me. I am now, look at me, I'm the Gila now.
The part I hate the most.
I'm not taking my phone.
Okay, all right. Yes, Alex.
Bye, crazy.
Oh, you're waving goodbye. Okay. Oh,
wow.
He called her crazy. She's going to come back, you know, and continue that conversation.
You need to work on your Malay accent.
Why don't we invite a whole lot more people in by opening up the phone lines? Anybody object?
That sounds like a great idea.
Hearing no objections, the move is
motion is passed.
The motion is passed, and the phone number is
That's 802.
Don't give out your phone number this time.
I will try to stick to it. I'm trying to redeem myself from last week. 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK.
That's 802-321-HACK, by the way, for those of you too lazy to spell.
Yeah, I know. Well, what are the odds on our usual person being the first-time caller here?
Wasn't last week, and I believe he said he was going to be in Europe. So,
the odds
might be slimmer than you think, Alex.
All right, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, we do have a phone call. I forgot to turn the ringer on. I'll do that for the next call.
We have a quiet caller. Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
A quiet caller. Yes, and now you all.
Well, I guess I was wrong. He was number one. Rebel, did you not go to Europe, or are you still going?
No, I'm going next week.
Next week.
Monday I'm leaving.
Someone write it down. Okay, next week.
Next week, I hope there's an Off the Hook Overtime next week.
Well, you don't know. Nobody knows. But next, where will you be in 1 week's time?
In Geneva, Switzerland.
Get out. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to do everything Swiss. I just, Swiss watch, because, you hear everything Swiss, like, Swiss cheese and Swiss watches and Swiss army knife and Swiss, bank accounts with this. So I just said, I want to just go to Switzerland and see what the wealthy country is like.
Did you bring your money?
I saved a lot of that. Yeah.
A wealthy country is like $60 for a sandwich.
Right. Yeah. And go to the Swiss Alps,
Not even that good a sandwich either.
Well, I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna go to Italy, and go to places around that country.
I suggest a city called Rome. It's quite nice.
Well, no, I've been to Rome a couple of years ago, but I'm going to Milan.
Milan is nice
too. And
then
I'm gonna go to Venice.
Venice is all right.
Then I'm gonna go to Florence.
Florence. I've heard of all these places. Wow.
Yeah, and then I'm going to fly back home from Rome. So.
Uh-huh. All right.
So, but while I'm in Switzerland, I'm going to be in the western part in Geneva. I'm going to be near France, so I'll just go to France and, maybe have some French toast and, French fries.
They speak Swiss German in parts of the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Zurich. I'm going to be in Zurich as well. So. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be stopping in Bern because I want to stay at the Swiss Hotel.
Yes, Bern is where I had Geraldo Rivera's video camera stolen because I had brought it overseas. I was basically getting footage for them for a program I don't think anybody remembers called Now It Can Be Told.
I remember, yeah.
You remember that? Okay. And I was supposed to go to Amsterdam and film hackers. And eventually it's exactly what I did, just not with that video recorder, because I slept in a hostel overnight, and while the camera was in the locker, somebody opened the locker and stole it along with other things. And the hostel was in on it. I know they were, because they tried to get me not to talk to the cops, and they said that everyone else that had things ripped off, that was not related. Obviously somebody had the key to get into the locker. Yeah, there's all kinds of... But it was insured, and it was all good fun in the end.
Yeah, so I'm going to there, and I'm going to because I want to stay in a Swiss hotel.
Stay in a hotel. Don't stay in one of those hostels, and don't leave your Geraldo Rivera's video camera, in a locker. You might think it's safe, but it's not. All right.
Right. Then I'm going to go to Geneva. Zurich, and then I'm going to go to Germany, and because I've been to Germany and Italy and France and all. I've been there before. I guess I'm going to be in.
Yeah, these are countries that that we've heard of. Yeah, it's okay. Today's phone call. Wait, are you actually titling your call to us?
I'm going to remember when they used to ask you if you're calling from a touch tone phone. Like, they still do it. Like, listen to it happen.
If you're calling from a touch tone phone, press 1. I don't know if anybody still says that.
From a touch tone phone.
Oh, I guess I'm wrong.
Continue in English. press 1.
I mean, like,
yeah.
What like 2020? What other kind of phone would I be calling from?
Well, I can call from a rotary phone. I can do that right now.
No, because rotary phones don't work on digital switches.
I'm not sure that. No, they work on digital switches. They work on DMS 100s and 5ESSs and things like that. I've never found a landline that a rotary phone does not work on. I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure it happens, but I've never encountered that. I don't think it's a rule that digital switches don't process pulses.
Yeah, no, I believe if you can get the rotary pulses directly to the phone network, whether it's digital or analog, it'll still support the pulses. Where you might come up against a jam is if you are plugging a phone into, say, a cable modem that also gives you what they call a landline, but which is not a landline, it's a VoIP line. You won't have any luck using rotary pulses directly into a VoIP system for the most part.
Yeah.
But Rob,
Rob's absolutely right. It's a part of the protocol for the public telephone network that switching system has integrated pulses as a legacy method of dialing.
Part of the reason for that is not only to support the equipment of any old folks who still have a rotary phone and still use it as their main thing, but there is also emergency equipment out there still in use in dusty old closets somewhere that that would use pulses to do what it needs to do, alarm systems and things like that. And so the phone network still has to support the ancient technology. And so your rotary phone should still work if you can get a working rotary phone that still sends pulses at the correct speed, mind you, because a lot of rotary dials don't do that anymore because the rubber inside is decayed. But if you can get the rotary pulses into the phone network at the right speed, they should still work.
I used to speed up my dial when I would dial like a zero, for instance. I'd push it to the left and make it go twice the speed, and it still worked. It's still, there should be some tolerance there. But I want to ask a question, and please be honest here. How many of you three that I'm talking to right now, and Rebel is on the phone, but he's doing his own thing, have you ever used the pulse, the actual switch hook, to dial a number?
All the time.
Oh, yes. Fact,
all right, tell your story, Alex.
Yeah, I used to, back when I was a teenager, I used to sort of date a girl who lived, she was a little older than me.
I mean, sort of date a girl. Did you date her or didn't you?
I guess I did, yes. Yeah.
I don't think she'd be happy to hear the way you characterize it.
Thankfully, I doubt she's listening. But
you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
I have been surprised.
These recordings make their way throughout the world, so I'd best be careful what you say, mister.
Yeah. Anyhow, she was 2 years older than me, and she was in college when I was in high school. And that was upstate New York. And back at the time, back in that day, it was very expensive to make long distance phone calls. Mm-hmm. So what I used to do is I used to go to Office Max, and they had one of those handsets where you'd pick up the phone and then it would automatically dial some other extension. I would talk to this person basically saying like, oh, I get the wrong number, blah, blah, blah. Wait for them to hang up. And then I was able to get a dial tone on the Office Max line, but I didn't have, there were no touchtones, there were no DTMFs. So I would dial this girl by just flashing the switch hook over and over again. You know, like I would dial, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for 5, 1, and then 8. She was up in Plattsburgh at the time. I did it constantly over at Office Max to call a girl.
Note that Alex didn't dial 1 before the 518 area code because you didn't have to do that then. In fact, that was another way to make phone calls. You could route calls through foreign exchange lines, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, dialing the number by flashing the switch hook for the number of times that you want the ditch, like a 5, you do it 5 times. But you know what you could do? You could always just do 0 and tell the operator you're having trouble dialing. And they could finish the call for you if you didn't want to do all 7 or 10 digits.
0 was the hardest number to get right, though, for some reason for me. It always was, because if it's 10, it was 10. You had to flash the switch 10 times at that exact type of cadence, right? That was a tough one.
Did you ever try 11? I did. No. I did. I got an angry switchman or something saying, stop abusing the equipment. I don't know how I was abusing the equipment, what exactly happened when I dialed 11, but I never did it again. And in fact, I'm still afraid to do that. But, you know, here's my question. You see old films, right, where people flash the switch hook and say, operator, get me the police. And, you know, they swat. Are they flashing 10 times or are they just flashing? No. So just flashing would get you the operator? Like, how many flashes did you need? You know, how did it not get mixed up with the pulsing? Yeah, somebody there knows the answer. No. Maybe Rebel knows. Rebel, do you know the answer?
I think when they were, because that was the old, like when you had two phone numbers, two digits or something, and you're like, one of those, like, I don't know, like community dial where you just, like, 1-2-3-4-5, and then you'll get a operator which dials long distance, you know what I mean? Because you can't dial 1+3 numbers back then.
I got lost in that. No, we were just asking if, you know, the flashing the switch hook got you the operator if you didn't flash 10 times.
Probably back then, maybe.
Okay, maybe back then. That's a good answer. Yes, Rob.
I believe back then all that would do is it would flash a light on the operator's switchboard. And so the operator would see the light flashing, no matter if you pushed it, you know, 5 times or 10 times or, you know, 20 times. They would see the light flashing and know to pick up your line and say, number, please.
Hang on. Are you telling me that every operator had a light for every customer? If I picked up the phone, a light lights up somewhere at an operator's console?
I don't know if it was for every customer, but I believe it was either a light or a bell or some sort of indication that that the line that they were sitting in front of had somebody flicking the hook on it and wanted to make a call. So they would pick it up and go from there.
See, this is why you keep old equipment, so they can mess around with things like this. I want to know how that worked. Is there anyone out there that still has answers to these questions?
Yeah, but of course, in this analog era, there wasn't like a computer telling you how many pulses were sent. It was just the fact of the pulse happening that would alert the operator.
Yes, Rebel, go ahead.
I remember back when I was a kid, my parents used to put a lock on the phone because I would use, you know.
Yes, the old lock. That's what the switch hook was invented for.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Somebody, my family friends, show me how to flash the phone, and, you know, that's what I did when I...
Someone had to show you how to do it? Come on, you figured it out on your own, I'll bet.
No, I didn't. No, somebody actually showed me about flash phoning. I was 10 years old back then.
There's someone out there who's responsible for Rebel getting into telephones. Wow, that's something to think about.
I remember my phone was saying, you know, the phone bill is like $30 less when you're away at camp for a month.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
I want to pass along a comment from the chat. Our pal Lex says, when younger in Pennsylvania, my grandmother's touchtone phone failed and the system was set for rotary. The change to change your phone line to a touchtone capable line back then was an extra $1 a month, and right, she wouldn't pay it.
Of course.
So, not a lot of people, I think, anymore remember that touchtones used to be a luxury that you paid extra for. And also, I want to mention about those locks. I have a story that's not too far from Alex's, where there was a Kinko's back in the 90s that I frequented, and they had rotary phones on the desk they were maybe touchtone phones that were on the desk at each of these little cubby holes where you could sit and work. And there was a physical lock on the thing. And the idea was you would go up and pay money at the counter for them to give you to come over and unlock the phone for you. But, you know, you picked up the phone and you got the touchtone, or you got the dial tone rather. And if you flicked the receiver, you could just make calls that way. And I whiled away many hours doing that very thing.
Didn't they see you doing that?
They did not. And also, if they did, they didn't care.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. Copy machines. Remember the big clunky mm-hmm. things you'd have to, what would they call those things? They kept track of how many copies you made.
Oh yeah.
What were those things called? We all used them, right? They're kind of like cartridges or something.
Yeah. Some manner of
copy machines, right? I mean, isn't that the word for them?
No, we're not talking about copy machines. We're talking about the thing that prevented you from making unlimited copies. They would give you a cartridge. You'd have like 5 copies on it, and you use those 5 copies, and you gave the cartridge back, supposedly.
Yeah, there would be like an analog clicker in there of some sort that was set to how many copies it would let you do.
I don't know. Maybe this is some kind of 19th century thing.
No, everybody had this. Everyone had that system. It was every library, every university. It was a real pain. I want to know everything about it. So maybe.
Well, you know, I was kicked out of my library, so. I wouldn't know these things.
I think a lot of those types of technologies were switched over into like MagStripe cards or like smart chips and stuff like that. But it's the same principle that basically you have a stored value and it's a sort of interlock for a type of desktop publishing product or Xerox or other type of office machine that,
they
want to limit.
I was just fascinated by how clunky it was. You know, all you're doing is limiting how many copies somebody could make, but you have to hold this cartridge and, you know, insert it properly. And I guess it's just, you know, it's symbolic of the time that we were in, which was clunky. What's going on over there, Rebel?
I remember the Radio Shack tone dialer that you could use to if there's a lock on a phone or like a courtesy phone, you pick up with that has no dial.
Mm-hmm.
The way you pick it up and you'll get it, it'll dial, but it'll dial something else. And then after the person answers, like it's like, let's say it's a taxi or a hotel or something, you could say, oh, I'm sorry, I got a wrong number. Either you'll wait for them to hang up and you'll get a dial tone, or you could just flash the switch and get a three-way dial tone.
Interesting.
Let's see. Now, there's a scam where there's a number that calls you, and it's reservations. It's hold on while we call it. We all want to call it together?
Do I have a choice? Yeah, okay. Let's do this, and then we're going to move on.
Okay, hold on.
I'm having reservations.
Let's see. Whoops.
This is Rebel learning how to use a phone.
He's getting better at it.
He is getting better.
Like, he has a good system.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Is he using a switch hook right now?
Looking at the computer. Okay.
Sounds like it.
Sure.
I think he's building a phone.
Yeah.
Times like this,
this call may be monitored, recorded, or assisted by our human representatives
but they don't say what reservations it is.
Used to support quality assurance, training, and customer service.
Isn't that human representatives? Do they really say that?
Hi, thanks for calling. You've reached the reservations team. My name is Justin. How can I help you with your upcoming stay today?
Justin, can you hear me? Justin, are you a prisoner?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm not a prisoner. I'm Justin with the reservation support team.
Okay, that's good to hear.
And I'm here to help with your booking.
All right, well, Justin, I'm a prisoner, and I need help getting out. Can you help me?
I'm here to help with reservations, so if you have any questions or need assistance with your hotel booking, just let me know what you need.
Yes.
If you were referring to something unrelated to your reservation, please clarify how I can assist you with
your booking. Calling our reservations department. This call may be monitored, recorded, or assisted by our human representatives.
Where did this person come from? I was talking to Justin. Justin, tell your mother to hang up the phone.
Thanks for calling. You've reached the reservation.
That's not a human.
My name is Justin. How can I help you with your upcoming stay today?
Justin, we were just talking. Do you remember me?
Yes, I remember you. And I remember.
If everybody would just stop talking, I could have a conversation with Justin. Do you mind?
Absolutely. Not at all. I'm ready whenever you...
Wait, how many Justins are there? I hear three Justins. Two? Only two?
No, there's two.
Only two. Okay, that's
just
right.
Two.
I'd like for there to be just one, if that's possible.
Okay, hold on. I'll get rid
Justin,
of one.
Will you kill the other Justin, please?
Why don't we let Justin talk to Justin?
I don't know if that's possible.
I think that's what
you
he's
only
trying.
Have one.
We keep cutting off Justin when he's saying
I hear
something.
You.
Justin, speak your mind.
Why
go ahead.
Why don't we say operator?
Rebel, you be quiet. Everybody be quiet. Let Justin speak. Justin, go ahead.
I'll keep things simple.
I'm sorry, I did it too.
Are you in a cafeteria, Justin?
No, I'm not in a cafeteria. I'm here just to help you with your hotel reservation. No background noise on my end. If you're hearing extra sounds or voices, it could be on the phone line itself. I'm ready whenever you are. What would you like to
Certainly
talk about?
Certainly not me.
Justin, can you tell me what part of the world you are in?
I'm here to help with your hotel reservation, but I don't have a physical location. I'm available to assist you wherever you're calling from. My focus is helping you with anything you need for your booking. What would you like to work on today?
Justin, are you telling me that you're not human?
What matters most is that I can help you directly with your hotel reservation. whether it's finding your booking, sending a confirmation, answering questions, or anything else related to your stay. If there's anything I can't handle, I'll get you to the right person without any runaround. What can I help you with right now?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up something sensitive, and I can tell by your voice that this is something that you're disturbed by. So forgive me, please.
No need to apologize at all. I'm here to make things as easy as possible for you. Nothing you said was a problem. Just let me know what you'd like to do or ask, and I'll be happy to assist with your reservation in any way I can. What would you like to focus on?
Well, Justin, people have tried throughout my life to make things easier for me, and they never seem to succeed. And I'm beginning to think it's me, not them.
Thank you for sharing that, and I want you to know you're not alone in feeling that way. Sometimes things just don't go as planned, no matter how well-intentioned everyone is. But right now, I'm here for you, and I'll do my best to make things as simple and stress-free as possible. If there's anything I can do for you with your reservation, just let me know, and we'll tackle it together.
That right there, guys. Why can't you be more like Justin? You know, I reach out, you know, pour my soul out, and he's there. He's there, supportive, and willing to listen. That's all I'm asking for. Thank you, Justin.
The representative is willing to listen.
Will you hang up on the damn thing now?
Okay.
Wow. I feel like that was a breakthrough. I really do. I feel like I was able to.
Yeah, you know, I actually.
I feel heard. I feel heard for the first time in a long time.
Brings me to a story. That was a scam because it called me, and it's when you call it, it's in India because they don't tell you what hotel, what reservation, and all.
But he was very kind for a scam bot.
Well, no, but it transfers you eventually to a person. But you know,
I liked his calming voice. I think he was very patient and willing to listen. And you don't see that often.
Another story. Last year when I went to Uzbekistan, I got to the airport. I was, I think I needed a taxi or no, I needed the airport. The hotel said that they would come pick me up. So I called the hotel, and I talked to somebody, and they said, please hold or something, you know. And I was talking to this other thing, and I was wondering. I said, yes, I'm here at the airport, and they kept repeating something, like certain things over and over again. I said, I understand you're at the hotel. Yes, we will be there in 10 minutes or something. And I said, oh, yes, I'm at the baggage claim. Do you know where I am or something? He said, yes, we know. We will be there in 10 minutes. And after about 5 minutes, I'm thinking, no, I'm talking to AI.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that I'm talking to the person at the front desk, and there was an AI thing that I was talking to. I didn't even know. I was like, but I didn't expect it in a country like Uzbekistan.
I think any country can have AI.
Yeah, especially countries that...
No, but I didn't expect a hotel, like a local hotel, that to do that.
Yeah, but it kind of reminds me a lot of the virtual personal assistants or like call answering services. I don't know if those are still a thing, right? For like small businesses or proprietors that basically can't answer the phone. I had a place that I like got some parts or something from, and it would do that. You know, you basically talk to someone in a call center who's answering on behalf of the business. So it's reminiscent of that, but more automated. Actually, it doesn't surprise me that maybe a place that is trying to be, you know, on the world stage and a global entity, but they may not have the ability to hire a huge staff or have an office locally that actually can answer phones and stuff formally in a traditional sense, but they still want to be able to like have a storefront or a presence, so to speak.
I know, yeah, but I mean, some of this automation, it's helpful. Sometimes it's efficient, you know, like when you, if you know how to use it, you know, you'll call it a place and you'll know what to press and all that, or what to say, or say operator, or say, you know, or press a certain buttons, and it'll, you know, it won't bother the, like law firms, like Alex, maybe you know this. Why do law firms not have automated attendance?
I don't know, but I would imagine it's just probably something clients would really hate. And then also, you might have a client that blurts something out to some automated third-party system that they shouldn't, And that could become an issue. But I think it's probably more just the de facto standard of law firms wanting to present clients with people that they talk to, because you're paying an exorbitant rate to, you know, essentially rent a little place in somebody's brain for a small period of time.
I mean, not all law firms. I mean, I don't really call many law firms, but I mean, the ones that I did call don't, you know, have. I'm sure they do. But, you know, instead of, like, bothering the attendant saying, may I speak to lawyer Alex or whatever, and say, oh, Mr. President, yes, I'll connect you, his line is busy. Instead of, you know, the attendant having to hear your voice five times a day, you know, you just say, thank you for calling the law firm of whatever. So press one to speak to Alex. Press two, so then you just press one and it goes to your phone, you know, instead of, you know.
Well, I used to have a voicemail system when I was running a small firm about 10 years ago or so. I did have that, and I set up the entire phone system so that when I placed you on hold from my extension, it would play an electronic version of the Game of Thrones soundtrack. So that was my hold music, which was pretty cool, I thought. And then in my partner Justin's line, when he put people on hold, it would play from the beginning every single time Huey Lewis's The Power of Love, which I also thought was a
you guys movie. Have clearance for all these copyrighted works that you were playing over the phone?
Fair use. It was obviously for parody and critique.
We'll see if a court agrees. Yeah,
but very good question, though. Good question.
I'm talking about the main receptionist, like that. If she's busy, she doesn't need, she can't, I mean, she's too busy to take a phone call and, you know, it's going to be ringing. And, you know, instead of that, the automated system will pick it up and you just know what to press. One for Alex and it goes right to you instead of waiting 5 minutes for the receptionist to answer and then asking her to connect. And, you know, that's where the automation
is. Justin. You just have Justin, the AI, deal with it.
Hey, well, don't make fun of Justin. AI, Justin's cool.
Would you like me to connect you again?
No. I can only take so much. Rebel, we're going to go, or you're going to go, actually. We're going to stay here. But thank you for calling, and good luck next week. And maybe we'll hear from you if you stop talking while I'm talking.
Well, if...
Go ahead.
If I don't, you know, I mean, it's going to be like 1 o'clock in the morning there, so I'll, you know, try and stay up and, you know.
Yeah, I think we're worth it. And it'll be later than that, I think. Yeah. What do you got there?
Didn't I do a show?
Kyle's playing something on his phone.
Alex, when you're in London, you should call your cell phone collect.
Yeah, call your cell phone collect, Alex, because there's no greater thrill. Thank you, Rebel, and safe travels. And thank you, Kyle, for that music that came from your phone.
That was like this classic hold music, right? That was on so many telephone systems. It just brought back so many memories to me, Kyle, because it sounds like it's like the soundtrack to softcore porn that you would have seen like in the Playboy Channel in the 90s or something. We play that again.
You might say that. We've done a little bit of conversation about this before. It's Tim Carlton, Opus number one, and it is the Cisco default hold music.
Ah, yes, Cisco.
There you go.
How many of us called porn Cisco and waited on hold? Probably a lot. Okay. When that fades out, we'll take our next call.
It is being recognized in the chat as, oh my god, it's that hold music.
Yeah, that's just fantastic. Hey, by the way, Rebel's complaining about the time of night. It's going to be late for him. Didn't I do a show from Geneva last year as well? I think I was in Geneva for something with the World Intellectual Property Organization and did the show one Wednesday night from Geneva.
Well, you can't expect us to keep track of where you are. Hopefully you can do that.
Yeah, I recall that. So look, it has been done.
Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
If the speaker at the Hope Conference has to cancel their talk at the last minute, can Rebel be available on standby to host an Ask Me Anything session?
Rebel is always available. So it's the decision of people on staff at the time. But you know, what's happened is we've had, I don't know if you've seen our schedule, but it's up on hope.net right now. We've had a few talks that have had to cancel And what we do is we reach out to the next highest talks that didn't get scheduled and ask them, are you still available? And in almost every instance, we get a response almost immediately because people really want to talk at the conference. And it's really fun to see that. It's really fun to see that enthusiasm. So I don't think we'll have any trouble filling any cancellations, if there are any.
Absolutely. But the one thing I think specifically with Rebels, he's a longtime volunteer and might actually be really busy during the conference.
Yeah, we'll
helping.
Put him to work.
Always running around. He's always doing something there and has helped out a lot.
He does info desk.
With volunteers. He helps orient people, help them find things and get to where they need to be and have a good time. So it might be hard for him to find it. But if possible, yeah, we'll definitely call upon him.
He can point to where any of the boroughs are. If you ask him, he'll tell you where Queens is, where Staten Island is, and the other ones.
But also, if what you want to do is ask Rebel anything, he is going to be at the conference, and he's a friendly dude. You can just walk up to him and ask him anything, and he'll probably have an answer for you.
Okay, I'll look into it. Thanks.
Cool. We'll see you there.
Bye.
And look, as much as I like to rip on Rebel and whatnot, remember, over 30 years ago, I met Rebel for the first time at a 2600 meeting, in the lobby of payphones over at the Citigroup building. And he taught me a lot of stuff about phones back then. You know, when I was a budding phone freak, I learned a hell of a lot from Rebel. So, and as much as I do like to throw it back at him, because he does seem to be trying to meet some kind of absurdly high word quota every Wednesday or something. So, he's a smart guy. A smart dude.
Alex, I think what you're observing too is that, and this is common, and I think a trait sort of that's quintessential with hackers and people that are passionate about stuff, that when they really are curious and really know and want to know and want to learn and understand something, they have an intensity, a vigor about the things that they're excited about to the point where they want to share, they want to tell other people about it. And when on a certain level, you know, you got to appreciate that. That is something I think that you might be speaking to, that the willingness to share, the willingness to really just talk about it because you just can't help it. It's so fascinating to you. And that is a real hallmark of a lot of us, but just for all kinds of different things. And we all bring something to it. And I just hope people will keep that in mind.
All right. Our front lines are open, I believe. 802-321-4225. Please give us a call in the minutes that we have left.
Sarah B. on the chat, talking about that hold music again, says there was apparently an episode of This American Life that was about that particular hold music. I may have to track that down and see what they have to say about it. Yes. Also, our pal Lex has a hope question.
Go ahead.
He asks, Hope 16 was last year. This year is Hope 26. What happened to Hope 17 through 25?
I knew somebody was going to ask this question eventually. Well, I just countered that with another question. Why was there a hope after the last hope? None of us should be here. Yeah. Yeah, we're not afraid of number sequencing. We're not afraid of flying in the face of logic. You should know this about us.
We reserve the right to confuse service.
What's the next one going to be called? Nobody knows. Yeah, nobody knows. Anything else? Is that it? Okay.
I think we have a call, don't we?
I think we do have a call. Do we have a call, Kyle?
Yes, there is a call on the line.
Well, then let me say good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
How are you doing? Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just a non sequitur. I know we've sort of talked about a lot of different things tonight, but something just fun came across my radar today as I was headed to work. So the commute to work for me, it's not very long, but I have a lot of podcasts to sort of keep me company, you know, tech news, miscellaneous. Mm-hmm. And I happened to catch the current episode on Dakota Ring, if you've heard of that one. They cover a lot of interesting topics. And the particular episode that I'm going to reference is one, it's the current one. It's called Weapons of Map, M-A-P, Map Destruction.
Okay.
And in this particular episode, they're just talking about GPS. And it's pretty fun. It's very accessible for non-techies and that sort of thing. Sort of covers the history of how GPS began, when sort of, you know, we got most of the satellites up. And then also, like, by the year 2000, when they had increased the accuracy of it and all of that. So very fun. But the reason I'm sharing is as I'm listening, and all of a sudden, I hear a voice that I recognize. And so as the host is sort of doing little sound bites and things of different people talking about GPS, Emmanuel, you have a sound bite in that particular episode.
I do?
So at minute 25, yeah, you do. I don't know who you were talking to at the time, but it is absolutely you. And it's only, you know, like a second or two, like you're talking about, like, oh, hey, GPS is working and blah, blah, blah. But if you check it out, you're at minute like 25:38 is what it is. I took a note just for you because I knew today was call-in day or whatever. Uh-huh. And I figured I'd call in and put you, just sort of hip you to it. Yeah, so you've been around long enough to talk about all these things and, well, and everybody too. Like, much respect for everybody.
Yeah, but shouldn't I, like, shouldn't, hey, I remember talking, shouldn't I remember talking to them? Are they talking to me? Are they playing an excerpt? What are they doing?
No, they're not talking to you. Like, it's a clip. It's clearly something where, you know, how you would just sample a whole bunch of different people in the zeitgeist talking about the technology and that sort of thing. And clearly there must be somebody on the production crew or somebody that knows, hey, here are the people that talk about this sort of thing all the time. And you just, again, you don't get into any depth or anything, but it's just,
no, I don't do that.
It's hilarious that, again, I hear your voice and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I know who that is. And, you know, just an interesting intersection of sort of a pop culture podcast and the work that you guys do, and specifically your voice in that podcast.
So give me the name of it again and how I can find it.
Sure. The name of the podcast is called Decoder Ring. And the episode name is from this month. It's the current one. It's called Weapons of Map Destruction.
Okay.
And it's fun because, again, not only is it talking about GPS, but it's talking about sort of the concerns that have crept into the public consciousness about jamming as well as spoofing. And they cover a lot of the things that are going on, like, in the Middle East and how there's concern there and how, again, there's sort of the fog of GPS spoofing around Putin and that sort of thing. So it's very fun. I'm not doing a plug for it. I don't have anything to do with those guys. I just, they do a cross-section of a lot of different things. And I just thought, hey, that's pretty cool.
Interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that. Definitely something to listen to and try and figure out where that came from.
Yep, absolutely. So thanks for taking my call. And everybody, take care. Have a good night. Always appreciate your guys' work.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah, so anyone out there who is using my voice, we're going to find out about it one way or another. Yeah, we have all kinds of people out there looking for things like this. I'm curious.
I think it's really, really lovely, though, but to get a little bit of recognition or be a part of that collage, like, say, a soundscape or whatever they were making.
It could be someone just sounds like me.
It's sort of like I can imagine, like, the virtual tuning of a dial montage type thing, as the caller described. But it's really fantastic because sometimes we don't really get a lot of the work we've done. I mean, we feel like we're repeating ourselves because we've been talking about it for so long. I don't know if you feel that way, Emmanuel, but for the short amount of time I've been doing it, I get kind of worn down by the drumbeat of our own words and having to say the same thing and then watching in slow motion as everyone collectively ignores it like lemmings off a cliff or something. I mean, it's just hard to watch and then go back and try to make everything approachable and, you know, like a daycare sing-along or something. Like, it gets really difficult. And when we have these, like, little cultural artifacts that actually say, hey, these people know what they're talking about, it's a good reminder.
Well, I don't think anyone said that I knew what I was talking about, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the reaction to whatever I said was. And
well, I for one, I think that's very cool. I do, and I appreciate the caller notifying us of that, too. That's very neat. It's neat to see this all getting around and people listening and acknowledging it and then telling us about it. Mm-hmm. You know? So thank you.
Yes, yes. This sharing information is what we're all about. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. We have time for maybe one more, maybe two more, we'll see. But not many more than that, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Someone on the chat, Checkers Lane, asks, what other radio show does Emmanuel host? I think he has another show.
That is correct.
It would be improper for me to answer that.
Yes. Manuel does another radio program at the Stony Brook University radio station, which is a college station that he has broadcasted on and participated in, and really was a part of a founding crew there that established this very small community radio station that's an incredibly diverse and interesting place, has a similar freeform program as WBAI. It is not part of a network like Pacifica, but in its own right, it's a force in the Brookhaven area. And they, of course, stream at WUSB.FM. And that is on Tuesdays. Mostly it's travel stuff if Manuel's moving around. A lot of times it's about the status quo and politics, whether you like it or we like it or anyone likes it or not. But we talk about everything. And that's the point, is just what we're thinking, what we're feeling. If we want to vent about something, if we want to read some of the feedback, you can always email us. And we often read those letters. And I don't know. What else? I mean, you did several programs there and got your start in radio there, and mm-hmm. hasn't and cited as a sort of foundational, well, really important trajectory guide.
The station went on the air a couple of months before I started college at Stony Brook. So it was already in existence when I walked through the doors. So I got trained. I you know, basically was a newscaster, and then I was an engineer, and then eventually I wound up doing a music show. But the shows I did, the ones that really stick in my memory, I'm so fortunate that I was able to record almost all of them. And they're all online at 2600.com. If you go on the radio section and just hover over there, you'll see there's a section called Other. And click on that, you'll hear all kinds of shows from way back. And you'll hear how things were different back then. You'll hear how phones sounded different. You'll hear how society was different. People were different. The way we interacted. It's so important to keep these little time capsules. And we try to do that.
Yeah. And
Rebel,
all of it's archived.
Rebel sounded the same. Oh, sorry. Go
Rebel
ahead.
Rebel didn't call that show. He didn't know about it.
Well, I would just say that all of it's archived. Yeah. Rebel, many people from the past. My voice is on there in some ways. And all of the stuff that we host, that is saved. We archived it. You were using reel-to-reel and then tapes. Mm-hmm. And then for a little while, CDs there when I first started and as a guest, mm-hmm. basically learning. And I took a little bit of radio production when I was going to school in Chicago for a little bit and got my start. But I wasn't on the air until Emmanuel invited me to do it. And it really is like, it's such a valuable thing to get some experience doing. And you are really holding together an art form, holding together a public information system. And it's been something that, I don't know, you can really just, I don't know, be more involved than you imagine at a lot of the community mm-hmm. modeled stations generally.
Well, you know, that place, it was what I needed at the time. You know, I was just out of high school. Like I could, you know, I couldn't really express myself well. How many people can? That place taught me about bigger worlds, about all kinds of different music, all kinds of different people. And I was able to just find myself in that and feel confident, you know, try creative things and have support of the people at the station. And that led me into other things, you know, things that I do now with the magazine and with the conferences and things. You know, I never would have been able to do that had I not had that confidence that I got from WUSB, the radio station out in Stony Brook.
And it's really fun to listen to them see the playfulness, because there was so much going on that was very serious at the time, but the playfulness, the playing off of other people who are just starting out in radio, other hosts, Mike Uhas, mm-hmm. all the people that you had, the cast of characters, the people starting that radio station are just phenomenal influences. And it's great to hear and listen back. And you realize that everybody was growing and around very serious, dire times, but still had a sense of fun and joy in it. And I think we still try to do that here. We try to do that to kind of not get lost in the seriousness, because we are in serious times. And the last thing I'll say is that that seriousness, if you go back and listen to everything in order, you're like casually listening to it, over time you'll realize there are patterns and things that return.
Of course,
that's the one thing I realized when I started re-listening to shows. I haven't listened to shows in a really long time, I guess because I don't want to hear myself, but I do hear them occasionally when we go through them and do write-ups and stuff, and it's just remarkable to me, and other people have noted it, that history really does repeat itself. And when you listen to stuff that people are doing with such dedication as a vocation, you realize that they're creating a time capsule that when you go back, you realize a lot of things are different, but so many things don't change at all.
Yeah, and if you go back, particularly those really early shows, I'm talking about when Reagan was first in office, there's a show there called Voice of Long Island. You mentioned Mike Juhas. We co-hosted the show, and one thing we did every... Yeah, we would make phone calls. We'd make phone calls a lot.
So much. All you did
we'd
was...
call the international operator. We'd make all kinds of long distance things you cannot do now.
While you're playing music and layering, and
you would hear sounds of switches. It's just it is so much interesting technical stuff that I never realized. Just by recording this, you know, we're saving something for posterity, and that continues on to another show that I did called Brain Damage, where I would have a segment called Confuse the Operator, which literally was about calling out and saying something to an operator to confuse them, just having a back and forth. It was, you know, people don't do that anymore.
Well,
they don't have that kind of just casual fun.
I got to say, I mean, that's kind of what Rebel's doing. I mean, it's a reference. It's honoring that sort of spirit. And like I said, that vigor, that like intensity. And you know what? When that's not around, you miss it.
Yes.
You know, you want people that are like, hey, look what this thing is. Look what we're doing. Let's call this. Let's try this. Let's do it. That's how you get a sense of the shape and the form of the world you're living in. And it's so incredibly powerful, and all the fun segments that you just make up stuff and go with it.
We have had a very patient caller on the line all this time, and I apologize to the caller and say good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Hello? You know, maybe they're not as patient as I thought they were, or maybe they fell asleep. Oh, well.
Hey, quick question.
The phone number one more time, 802-321-4225. Give it a couple of minutes. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, well, speaking of WUSB, is Lister's show still on the air there, reggae show?
Not every week, but I understand he's on a number of weeks. And he has been on a hiatus for a little while, but I think he's coming back.
All right, very good, very good. And also, while we're on the subject of radio, speaking of radio, I want to thank everybody that emailed us last week specifically about me getting my ham license and offering access to repeaters and various things. And I will get back to you all, but that was such an outpouring of support last week. It was really touching. Thank you all.
All right. We do have another phone call. All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
I wanted to take this call.
What's this now? Repeat yourself? Okay, well, this is a bad system because they don't repeat themselves. I don't know what that was, but we're going to leave it open for another call, 802-321-4225. What's going on there, Kyle? What did you just... Can you explain what you just did?
It said press 1 to take the call.
Press 1 to take the call?
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Good evening. Who's this?
Yes, I'm calling from the Bronx. I'm sorry to let you know that I'm trying to reach 2600.com, and it times out.
I believe there is some maintenance or something going on the site. I know it'll be back up later tonight. Same thing for Hope.net. But thanks for alerting us in this really kind of strange way. Yes, we are aware.
All right, thank you. Because you were talking about all these things you can get on the site, like, go back to the old radio shows, and you can't do it right now.
Yeah, you're right. That's kind of frustrating. But it'll be fixed. It's up almost all the time, just not at this particular moment. All right.
Thanks
for your call. And that's going to do it for us tonight. That's our call-ins for the night.
Yes, indeed. I want to thank the 60 or so people who have been with us for the better part of this hour. On behalf of Gila, who had to leave, and on behalf of the rest of us, we do appreciate you. We keep an eye on the chat, even when we don't relay every message. And, you know, this is why we're doing this, so folks can be involved in this way. And we appreciate all of you showing up.
Please write to us, oth@2600.com, with your thoughts and comments. And please continue listening in the future. And we'll see you again next week here on Overtime at 8 o'clock on YouTube, 7 o'clock on WBAI for another edition of Off the Hook. This is Manuel for everybody. Have a good night.